Hey there. Welcome to Following the Truth. My name is Gary Zimak. Great to be back here with you on the program. Sorry about yesterday. What happened was I intended to record it and record the show, and I just kept putting it off. Everything was fine. That's why if you did get a chance to listen to the show, I put up a best of episode. And I put a little tag at the beginning to let you know that I'm okay, because oftentimes when I don't do the show, which is rare, but when I do cancel it for whatever reason, it raises some concern. I want to make sure you know that I'm okay. Everything was fine yesterday. I just put it off. I had some things to do and I was working on some writing. And before you know it, it was just so late. It ran into dinner time and I just couldn't get the show done. But today I'm back. Great to be back here with you. And we're going to talk about trusting in God's providence today. I'll read you the gospel from today's Mass. And this is something that I shared in my daily email reflection. I think it's a valid concept to really think about. And to look at what Jesus said when he sent out his apostles, and to really apply that to our own lives, are we as willing as they were to trust in his words, to just not take anything with us, and let our Heavenly Father provide for our needs? So I think maybe it's a good time to talk a little bit about that. Earlier today, I was doing a live broadcast for a business group out of Cleveland, and I was talking about the Sermon on the Mount when Jesus talked about one of my favorite topics, do not worry. And he said to look at the birds in the sky, you know, and your Heavenly Father takes care of the birds. Why wouldn't he take care of you? And this whole idea of God's providence, do you trust that what Jesus said is true? And, you know, let's be honest. We struggle with that. It's not an easy concept to really believe, is it? And sometimes we struggle with the idea of, am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? That's the other problem. Am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Where is that line between what I'm supposed to do and what God is supposed to do? Because I think we could misinterpret, and I definitely would call this misinterpreting it, the words of Christ and assume that, well, I don't have to do anything. God the Father will just provide. I'll just sit around and do nothing. But that's never the case. That just doesn't work. And, you know, one thing to consider is even the birds, they have to go find their food. The Father provides it for them, but they have to find it. So we have some responsibility. But where do we draw the line? So maybe we'll chat a little bit about that as well. So today is Thursday, right? February the 4th. Tomorrow is Friday. I am shocked as I say that to you, because it's the beginning of a new week. It's the end of another week. You can tell I'm a little off today. I did that presentation, and it really took a lot out of me. You know, I've been doing some virtual presentations, and it's nice because I get to interact with audiences again, but it's also kind of sad in a way, because I'm not there live, and I miss the live interaction. But here's some good news. I am starting finally to get a few speaking inquiries, and I don't know when this is going to be possible. One for September, one in May. And, you know, I think it might be doable. I can't believe how COVID really has shut things down the way it has. But it appears to me that we may be finally starting to turn the corner on this thing, and that I will be able to start speaking again. So please keep in mind, if you do want to bring me to your parish or conference, please visit my website, followingthetruth.com, and shoot me a message, and let's talk about the details, and maybe it's time to start planning that. But I really miss that. I love the interaction. I love being able to do virtual things. I love being able to do this podcast. And I just miss the live talks, though. But visit the website if you want to think about bringing me in to speak at your parish. Hey, how about if we pray now? Okay, let's turn to our Father in heaven, who does love us and who does want to provide for our needs. And let's turn to him with our needs and ask him to watch over us and to give me the words for this show. Please join me in the name of the... excuse me. Let me take a sip of water. I didn't see that one coming. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Father, it's great to be in your presence once again. Thank you for always being here for us. For no matter what the situation is, you are always here with us. You always are ready to intervene in whatever problems we may experience. Father, we recognize that you are all-powerful. We recognize that you love us with an unconditional love. And we recognize, Father, that you're always willing to provide for everything that we need. Sometimes, unfortunately for us, your provision comes in the form of a storm, and we get confused thinking that it's a bad thing, but in reality, you're actually helping us. So we pray for the wisdom to be able to recognize that. Father, we ask you to bless our families, ourselves, our friends. We ask you, Father, to send down your Holy Spirit. Please pour your Spirit out on me so that I know what I'm supposed to say on this show. And please open all of our minds and all of our hearts to be receptive to the message that you have for us this day. Father God, we ask this in the name of Jesus, your Son. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know what I was thinking? This is one of those inspirations that I think the Spirit gives me from time to time. I like to really follow the lead of the Spirit. I don't want to lock myself into exactly what I'm supposed to talk about. Got to leave some room for the Spirit to work. But what I was thinking as I was offering that prayer was that, do you ever struggle with how specific you should make your prayer requests? You know, you think you have to name every last person and then give God all the different options, right? You ever do that? And I struggle with that too. You leave something out or one category, and even though you mention the broader category, then you think, well, maybe I should go into more specifics because then God's not going to hear me. I can get a little scrupulous like that. So what's the balance? Here's what I think. It's fine to use broad categories when you pray. Father, please pray for, help all my loved ones, my friends. We pray for our country. We pray for the church. We pray for those who work with the public. We pray for an end to the coronavirus. You know, the broad categories, which I do when my wife and I pray our morning prayers. We pray them together, and I generally tend to do the broad categories, and sometimes Eileen will supplement. So we're a good team like that. Or sometimes if somebody comes to mind, I'll mention a person. But one of the problems that I have, the trouble I get myself into, is that sometimes when I start mentioning specific people, then I begin to think, did I cover everybody? And I'll mention five people who are sick, and then I'll think, well, wait, maybe there's six or seven or eight. And you know, you got to find some sort of a balance. So I would just say that when we mention specific intentions or specific people, I think it is good to pray specifically. And the reason it's important is in order to know that God answered your prayer, and for our faith to grow, it's a good idea to pray specifically. Because otherwise, if you don't ask for something specific, you ask strictly generally all the time, you're never going to really see the incredible things God can do in your life. And this is really how our faith grows. On the other hand, he doesn't need to know all of the specifics. So I think it's really a combination. You don't want to drive yourself crazy. You don't need to remember, or you don't need to delineate every last intention to God, but sometimes it's not a bad idea to do it so that you know that he's answering your prayers. Again, it's really, I think it's just a balance. It's a balance, but we will see. We will see, you will see as you start doing this, you'll start to feel more comfortable with how you pray. But I would just say do a little bit of both. if that makes sense. Sometimes you might want to go general in the morning and then specific as you think of people throughout the day, or specific intentions as they come to mind. You know, and I would ask the Holy Spirit to guide you. You don't want to get crazy with it to the point where it's driving you nuts and it distracts from your prayer life. But I think it really is a balance. Okay, I didn't expect to talk about that, but I just wanted to throw that in. So I'm just saying, do a little bit of both. It's not a cop-out. Maybe it is a cop-out, but that's what I typically do. Okay, what else we got? Let me think. Followingthetruth.com is my website for more information. Boy, Give Up Worry for Lent is selling great once again. So if you haven't yet got a copy, you might want to do so soon before it sells out again this year. It's really doing well in the sales chart. Number one bestseller on Amazon for the third year in a row. And remember that on February the 17th, which is Ash Wednesday, we'll transition here on the program. We'll start reading something from Give Up Worry for Lent each day. I'm not going to read the book, but what I'll do is supplement the material to so we can walk through Lent together. I think that's the key. I'll also do that in my daily emails, so make sure you get on the let not your heart be troubled email list as well. You can do all that by going to followingthetruth.com. And I mentioned speaking at the beginning of the show. I also mentioned, or I did not mention, but I do want to throw this out there, that I'm at a point in time with no real speaking work for the foreseeable future. I have one parish mission in February, but that's it. I really do need the donations to go forward. So if you're able to help me out by becoming a monthly sponsor, that would be the best way to do it if you're willing to do that. Or if you'd rather make a one-time donation, I really could use it right now to help my ministry go forward and to keep this program being produced, as well as my weekly program, The Gary Zimak Show, and my daily newsletter. So if you're able to help me out financially, the best place to go is followingthetruth.com, which is my website, and then you click on donate from there, and you can donate securely through PayPal. Any questions, you can shoot me an email at gary@followingthetruth.com. Okay, readings from today's Mass. So today is Thursday of the fourth week in ordinary time. Now, this Sunday will be the fifth Sunday in ordinary time. And then after that, we're going to go into Lent, I believe. Am I right about that? Let me just check. Let me check as we're talking. I want to make sure I give you the right information. This Sunday is the fifth Sunday in ordinary time. No, then we have the sixth Sunday in ordinary time. Then that Wednesday is Ash Wednesday. So two more Sundays in ordinary time before we go into Lent. And then we'll be in Lent for a while, and then when we come back out, we'll go through the Easter season, and then back into ordinary time in the spring. But it's all good. You know, it's really a good journey. I think Lent's going to be very productive this year. I just have that feeling, and I'm just glad to have you along with me for the Lenten season. Today's gospel comes from Mark, and Mark talks about here when Jesus sent out the apostles. They're known as the 12 here, but he sent out the apostles to do his work, to spread the good news. Mark chapter 6, verses 7 through 13. Jesus summoned the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over unclean spirits. So he's not sending them out really empty-handed. He's sending them out with authority in the same way that you and I, by virtue of our baptism and confirmation, we are equipped to go out and share the gospel, and that's what the church expects us to do, to be out, to go out and evangelize. And interestingly, Jesus sends them out two by two. They go out in teams, which is a really good idea. That the idea of brotherhood or sisterhood, where we help one another out, it's a very good idea, because sometimes when you're on your own, there are a lot of spiritual challenges. The devil can really take down one person much easier than he can take down two people. So it's a good idea to be involved in some sort of church groups. And I know that with the pandemic, that's difficult right now. But as things get better and as virtual groups continue, it really is a good idea to get involved, so that you can get some support. My wife does a virtual Bible study once each week. And it's really, she's really gotten a lot out of it. And at some point, it's funny, it's at a parish. It's not at our parish. It's at a neighboring parish. And she didn't know any of the people when she signed up for it, but they've gotten to know one another. And at some point, they will transition to in-person meetings. And I know she's looking forward to meeting everybody in person because she hasn't met any of these people yet. But it really is a good idea to get involved with other Christians, other like-minded Christians, so that you can help one another. Okay, now here's the part I really like. Jesus instructed them to take nothing for the journey but a walking stick, no food, no sack, no money in their belts. They were, however, to wear sandals, but not a second tunic. Interesting, isn't it? Take nothing with them but a walking stick. They don't have food. They don't have money in their belts. They are going to be dependent on the generosity of other people. That, you know, that's one of the things when I started this show, I said, I don't know how long this is going to last, but I'm going to need you to help me. And that's happened enough to get the show up and running. And, you know, thanks be to God, I've been able to survive for all these months since the time when I first started. God the Father does provide. The reason we sometimes get a little confused or frustrated in his providence is that he doesn't provide in the way that we would expect, or maybe to the extent that we would expect, you know, because I think sometimes our needs and our wants get a little confused. We're never really sure if we absolutely need something or if we just want it. We might think we're aware of that, but I've been surprised on a number of occasions by that. So Jesus is saying, take nothing with you. They were, however, to wear sandals, but not a second tunic. So they have minimal luggage with them, if you want to call it that, so they can move around freely. And Jesus said to them, wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave from there. Whatever place does not welcome you or listen to you, leave there and shake the dust off your feet in testimony against them. Now, this is pretty interesting, too, because sometimes once we begin to share the gospel, you know, we have our whatever conversion experience and we begin to want to go out and share Jesus with others, we're going to encounter those people who don't want to hear what we have to say. And, you know, when we do that, sometimes we could end up putting in a lot of effort and literally banging on a closed door when we could go elsewhere and reach somebody who does care. You know, so, and it's very easy for us to get caught up in that. I'm so focused on this person. I've got to make sure this person understands the good news that we're losing sight of the fact that the time isn't right for them. And maybe it's better to just plant a few seeds. Remember a little while ago, we talked about the mustard seed, and the kingdom of heaven is compared by Jesus to a mustard seed, and it grows very slowly. It doesn't grow quickly. It starts out small and it grows little by little, almost unnoticed. That's the way it is with people's faith. And you might be planting some seeds. Somebody's not ready to be receptive, but they might be ready soon. And it might be more beneficial for you to go and move on, go talk to somebody else. And then over time, that seed will grow. But Jesus said, if you enter a house, stay there until you leave from there. Whatever place does not welcome or listen to you, leave and shake the dust off your feet in testimony against them. So you do what you're supposed to do. You try. But if they're not going to listen to you, go somewhere else and give it a try. So they went off and preached repentance. We will talk more about this as we get into the Lenten season. But one of the comments that I'll make, and I talked about this when I was doing the conference with the Cleveland group today, the word repent, the English word repent, when you look at the original Greek manuscript, and Mark wrote his gospel in Greek, the word is metanoia, which is, you know, that's a word that gets used a lot, typically meaning a conversion, an internal change, to literally to think differently afterwards, or to change the way you think. This is what the apostles are preaching. When Jesus began his public ministry in Mark's gospel, his first words, according to Mark, were the time is now, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. So he's literally telling us that in order to follow him or to seek first the kingdom, we've got to change the way we think. That's the message that the apostles were preaching when they went out. And, you know, I really think it's something to consider. That's why I'm so excited to share the Give Up Worry for Lent message during the Lenten season, because worry, when we give up worry, we are literally obeying Christ and changing the way we think. The Lord's looking for the internal conversion. I think quite often what we do is we think externally. I've got to become a better person. I've got to stop cursing, or I've got to start saying more prayers. All the externals, I got to get to church more, while not focusing on the internals. Jesus is looking for the internal conversion, which drives the external. If you just try to do the external, you probably won't get very far. You'll end up getting frustrated, and you're not going to be successful in the long run. Jesus is looking for a change of heart. Also, a change of actions, an outward change, but it should be driven from the inward change. So the apostles went out, they preached a message of repentance. The 12 drove out many demons, and they anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. See, there's that authority given to them by Jesus, and we have the same authority. When it comes to healing, I've talked about this before on the show. My recommendation is if somebody needs healing, somebody you know needs a physical healing, I would recommend you pray for them. You pray for that complete physical healing and trust that the Lord will grant the healing if that's what he wants. We all have the ability in Jesus' name to cure the sick, but we're not doing it on our own. Jesus is healing through us. But I would strongly recommend that you go ahead and pray for a healing. If you know somebody who is in need of healing, please pray for them. Pray for their physical healing. Leave the details up to the Lord. If he doesn't think that physical healing is the best thing, he's going to let you know. But at least give him a chance. At least give him a chance. Because yes, as Christians, we do have the authority. We do have the authority to pray for healing. And a lot of times the healing power is just granted for a brief period of time. It's not like once you have the gift of healing. Some people do. But more often than not, the gift of healing is given to somebody momentarily or for a short while or in a particular situation. So right now, I would say if you know somebody who is sick, pray for their complete healing. And I've seen it. I've seen healings more often than not. They take place gradually. They don't take place all at once. They're not sudden and instantaneous. But I've seen healings that have taken place over and over in a very gradual way. They unfold gradually, but please pray for somebody if you know somebody who needs healing. My own daughters had a 10% chance of being born alive, and here they are, 23 and healthy. So it does happen. But the key is, do you trust God's providence? Do you trust him to provide for your needs? Do you trust him not just to provide for your material needs? Do you trust him to give you the spiritual grace that you need to overcome those sinful habits, to become holy, to become more like Jesus? Do you trust that the Holy Spirit will work in you and to help you to pray and help you to pray? God will provide. And Jesus is not kidding around. God has been so faithful to me in my life. I would just recommend you give him a chance and just ask him for whatever you need. If you think you need him to provide for something in your life, please Just give him the chance. Give him the chance to provide. Jesus is not kidding. He will satisfy your needs, whatever they are. It doesn't mean you don't have to do any work, but it does mean you should turn to him, ask for help, and expect him to answer, okay? Hey, look, if you have any questions, Gary@followingthetruth.com is my email address. Would love to hear from you. And again, it's really a pleasure to be able to spend some time with you and to hang out with you each day at this time. Don't forget, the Gary Zimak Show podcast will air tomorrow. It's available tomorrow, so you can get it wherever your typical, where you get your regular podcast from. It should be out tomorrow, and I'll be reflecting on the Sunday Mass readings. Know that I'm praying for you every day. I'm going to ask you to please continue to pray for me as well. I would really appreciate that. And just a reminder, if you want to get a copy of Give Up, Worry for Lent, as we're in the last few minutes, I would recommend you get it now before it does sell out. I've got some national radio appearances coming up, and I have a feeling the book is going to sell out again. So Give Up, Worry for Lent, the easiest place to find it is to go to my website, followingthetruth.com, and click on the link. You'll be able to find it there. But it is available at all of your standard booksellers as well, all your standard online booksellers. Okay, sound good? I hope you have a fantastic day, and just start to get ready for Lent. I'm looking here. I got a few more minutes, a few more seconds, before the clock winds down. I want to remind you once again, if you are able, and I hate to keep repeating this, but it really is important right now, if you are able to help me out financially so my ministry can continue going forward, I would really encourage you to be able to do that now by going to my website, followingthetruth.com. That's followingthetruth.com, and click on donate. I especially right now could use some monthly donors. So if you're able to become a monthly sponsor, followingthetruth.com, donate, and then you can become a monthly supporter. Okay, now I'm really going to run. Thanks again for hanging out with me. Hope you have a fantastic night. And God willing, I look forward to being back with you again tomorrow on Following the Truth. Bye-bye now.